Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Reading from Canto 3, Chapter 7, Text 12. Further inquiries by Vidura. So it's Vidura speaking, and he's speaking to Maitreya. This chapter is setting the ground for the next three chapters. It's questions which Maitreya is going to answer. Savai Nivritti Dharmena.
Savai Nivritti Dharmena.
Vasudevanukampaya.
Vasudevanukampaya.
Bhagavad Bhakti Yogena.
Bhagavad Bhakti Yogena.
Tirodhatte Shanair Iha.
Tirodhatte Shanair Iha.
Savai Nivritti Dharmena.
Savai Nivritti Dharmena.
Vasudevanukampaya.
Vasudevanukampaya.
Bhagavad Bhakti Yogena.
Bhagavad Bhakti Yogena.
Tiro dhatte shanair iha. Saha. That. Vai.
Also.
Nivritti.
Detachment.
Dharmena.
By engagement.
Vasudeva. The Supreme Personality of Godhead. Anukampaya.
By the mercy of
Bhagavat.
Bhagavat.
In relation with the Personality of Godhead.
Bhakti
Yogena.
By linking up.
Tirodhate.
Diminishes.
Shanai.
Gradually.
Iha. In this existence. Translation: by that misconception of self-identity, but that misconception of self-identity can be diminished gradually by the mercy of the Personality of Godhead, Vasudeva, through the process of devotional service to the Lord in the mode of detachment. So before I read the purport, I'm going to go back and clarify something. The first word is saha. Saha is a pronoun. It refers to something. It refers to the previous verse, which many of you didn't hear. So I'll read the previous verse, and that's what saha means. It's this verse. This particular misconception. Text 11 translation reads, as the moon, reflected on water, appears to the seer to tremble due to being associated with the quality of the water. The moon doesn't tremble, but it appears to tremble because the water is moving and the moon is reflecting on the surface of the water. So to the seer, it appears the moon is trembling. So, similarly, the self associated with matter appears to be qualified as matter. So that's what saha is. And in the purport, Prabhupada several times is going to use the word quiver, 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 quiver. It's not a bow and arrows and quiver, it's not that kind. The mind quivering. And the sense of self moving as the mind moves, thinking of the self as quivering, when in fact the self has nothing to do with quivering. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. the quivering quality of material existence, which comes from identification with matter, or from thinking oneself under the material influence of philosophical speculation to be God, can be eradicated by devotional service to the Lord, by the mercy of the personality of Godhead, Vasudeva. So that's that Vasudeva. Anukampaya. Anukampaya means by the mercy of Vasudeva. So by the mercy of Vasudeva, that quivering misconception of self-identity can be taken away, dismissed. As discussed in the first canto, because the application of devotional service to Lord Vasudeva invites pure knowledge, it, that's devotional service, quickly detaches one from the material conception of life and thus revives one's normal condition of spiritual existence, even in this life, and frees one from the material winds which cause one to quiver. There's playing upon the metaphor, or amplifying the metaphor. What's that verse from the first canto? Srimad Bhag. Go ahead, say it. Yeah, you got it. Vasudeva, Bhagavati, Bhakti Yoga, Prayojataha. What's the rest, Chakri? Janiyati Yashu Vairagyam Gyanam Chayad Ahaitukam. Let's do it again. Vasudeva, Bhagavati, Bhakti Yoga, Prayojataha. Janiyati Yashu Vairagyam Gyanam Chayad Ahaitukam. So Prabhupada has just paraphrased that verse in one sentence. So, Bhakti unto Vasudeva, Vasudeva. There's Vasudeva and there's Vasudeva, just like there's Radha and there's Radhe. Calling Radha is Radhe or Hare. So Vasudeva, Bhagavati, Bhakti Yoga, Prayojataha. The devotional service unto Vasudeva has, this is like that verse. 1, 2, 7, something like that, is one of the six answers to the six questions of the sages. It's a very important verse. And that question was, what's the essence of the message of the whole Bhagavatam? Of all the Vedas. All the Vedas, what's the essence? There's the essence. And it's being spoken here by Vidura. In his question, so he wants to understand the process better. He knows the process. He's not asking for information. He already has the information. He's asking for the realization. This is the level that the Bhagavatam goes to. It repeats itself like that. Persons asking the questions give the information. They're asking, please awaken within my heart the realization of this information. How does it happen? I want that experience. It's marvelous. So, from the process of devotional service, the innate knowledge of the real identity of the soul awakens, and with that detachment from the quivering conception of who we are, the misconception. It's always changing and very fragile and always disturbed. Only knowledge and devotional service can elevate one towards the path of liberation, the development of knowledge for the purpose of knowing everything without rendering devotional service is considered, not complimentary, fruitless labor. And one cannot get the desired result by such labor of love. Lord Vasudeva is pleased by devotional service only, and thus his mercy is realized by association with pure devotees of the Lord. Prabhupada says this once, and he can say it two more times, just in case somebody's not awake and didn't hear it the first time. Pure devotees of the Lord are transcendental to all material desires, including the desire for the results of fruitive activities and philosophical speculation. If one wants, here's the third time, if one wants to acquire the mercy of the Lord, he has to associate with pure devotees. Such association alone can, by degrees, release one from the quivering elements. End of purport. So, Savai. Nivritti dharmena vasudeva anukampaya bhagavat bhakti yogena tirodate shanayar iha. But that misconception of self-identity can be diminished gradually. That's an important word also. Shanai. Tirodate shanai. Iha, gradually. It's only gradually because we're attached. It can be at once, but gradually because we're attached. It still acts even if we're attached. Gradually, shanai. That misconception of self-identity can be diminished gradually by the mercy of the personality of Godhead, Vasudeva, through the process of devotional service to the Lord in the mode of detachment. Small qualifier. In the mode of detachment. So, first a little appreciation of the poetry of the Bhagavatam. Besides the poetic imagery of the moon, reflection of the moon on the surface of water. In the previous purport, Prabhupada explains it's proportionate because surfaces of water can also be very calm. And if the surfaces of water are very calm, the moon isn't quivering. But then a little wind, the water moves, and the reflection of the moon moves. A little wind, the water moves. And so the moon doesn't move. But to the seer, the moon is moving. The moon doesn't move. And, So Prabhupada is saying in the previous purport, that's also differential. Sometimes even in the reflection of the moon isn't moving. But bear in mind, Prabhupada indicates that the reflection of the moon is not the moon to begin with. The self is not that impression that we have within the mind, because the reflecting surface, the moon and the water is the metaphor. In our case, it's the mind is the reflecting surface. And things that sense perceptions bring into the mind then help form conceptions and different sensory experiences and modes of nature and all types of influences then modify our conception of self, which is carried within the mind, and it keeps moving and it keeps moving and it keeps moving, and it's not who we are anyways, even when it's quivering. But the movements of time and the movements of the modes of nature and the movements of material influences upon us, conditioning influences, make us keep changing our conceptions of who we are. And we chase after that misconception of who we are, hoping there's going to be happiness. No, not there, it's over there. Wait a minute, it's not over there anymore, it's over here. And never find it, because it's the wrong platform to begin with. But the quivering metaphor is It's disturbing. And one other dimension that's mentioned in the purport is that as with the light of the moon, Prabhupada extends in the light of the sun, is actually the source of the light of the moon. And when the light of the sun and the light of the moon reflect on an object, the light of the sun and the moon reflected on matter makes it appear brighter and praiseworthy. Oh, it's very nice. And we become attracted to how it's very nice. So in the purport, Prabhupada explains that the moonlight on the Taj Mahal is the same moonlight in a forest, an uninhabited forest. But because it's a Taj Mahal, oh, look how beautiful it is. It's praiseworthy. The illusion becomes attractive. Let's go to the Taj Mahal and see the Taj Mahal. But you can't see the Taj Mahal without the light of the sun or the moon. And it makes it look praiseworthy. It's Maya. The anatomy of Maya is being disclosed. But don't tell anybody because they wouldn't understand it anyway. But here it is. It's illusion. There's another place, purport I was just reading. It's not identical, but it's very similar. Comparing Sat and Asat. And Krishna is Sat, and the soul is Sat. Asat means it exists, it's real. And because the soul is in contact with matter, because the soul is real, and because the soul is in contact with matter, matter appears to be real. Like, it's alive. It's a real thing. But actually, it's dead matter. Prabhupada was explaining a car. It's dead matter. But because somebody gets in, turns the key, and zoom, zoom, there goes the car. But it's just dead matter. And he was saying the same. The body is just dead matter. It's not who we are. Then the classic, there's the dead person lying on the bed. Oh, my father has gone. What do you mean? He's right there. If the identity is the body's there. So why does one say, but it appears when alive, that's my, you know, that's who I am, and that's my relative, and that's my son, and my daughter, and my wife, and my husband, and my spouse, and my, and that's, appears to be real. And you're insensitive if you don't, you know, like, place lots of value in that which is not real. But it's not real. It's not real. But where does that sense of it appears to be real come from? These two things. Because the soul is present, the soul is real, and Krishna is in the heart of that soul, it appears real. And it's also proportionate. But when consciousness of Krishna, or Vasudeva Bhagavati, awakens, knowledge and detachment awaken. And then one can see what it is. It's some configuration of matter that's here today and gone tomorrow. So I'll responsibly look after this configuration of matter that's here today, knowing very well it's gone tomorrow. This is my service today, or at least at this moment. And then it's gone. I'm not serving illusion, I'm serving Krishna. And then this other second, why it appears to be real or praiseworthy, is the light of the sun and the moon, which is being compared to the presence of the soul within the body. So the two comparisons work very nicely. It's appreciation of the poetry of the Bhagavatam. Rupa Goswami describes that because Krishna is beyond the opportunity of the mind to experience, You can't figure out Krishna by extending the mind. Pantasta koti kara sarasat darasampargam yo bayoratapi manaso muripungavanam. Build a spaceship that travels as fast as the mind goes and travel for millions and millions and millions of years. You'll still not approach the tip of the toe, the lotus feet of the personality of Godhead, because the mind can't extend there. But the mind can become purified by the process of bhakti. That's what's being described. So another is of the poetry of the Bhagavatam. There are phrases within the Bhagavatam that repeat themselves, or Vyas does it deliberately. Phrases that mean something, they're very important something. And then it's presented in a very deep way, and then somewhere later just the phrase is mentioned, and somewhere later the phrase is mentioned, and somewhere, and it invokes all of that deepness that was presented before. It's very beautiful. So there's one of those right here in this verse. Bhagavad Bhakti Yogena. Bhagavad Bhakti Yogena. It's just like, you know, one of the lines in the verse. But it invokes this very powerful message of the entire Srimad Bhagavatam. One of those, I'm going to mention two of them. One of them is Vyasa's realization. When Narada instructs him what to do, you know, why he was feeling despondent, why he didn't compile that type of literature that would bring complete satisfaction to the self, he told him what to do. Meditate completely upon the personality of Godhead with nothing else going on. And in that state of complete absorption in the personality of Godhead, in trance, you'll get a realization. And let that realization be the subject matter of your satisfying literature. So there's some verses, Canto 1, Chapter 7, verses 4, 5, and 6. They are discussed by Jiva Goswami four times in his Sandarbhas because they're so important. It's just, you know, four verses. Because it's the essence of what Vyas realized, which is the essence of the whole Bhagavatam, under the order of Narada. So one of those is this Bhagavad Bhakti Yogena. It starts, Bhakti Yogena Manasi Samyak Praniyate Male Apashat Purusham Purnam Mayam Cha Tad Apashrayam. Very nice verse. It is describing how Vyas is describing how he went beyond this quivering misconception of the self. How did he do it? Bhagavat Bhakti Yogena, or Bhakti Yogena Manasi, specifically. Manasi is the mind. His mind, samyak, means complete. There was nothing else going on in his mind but fixed upon the personality of Godhead. Samyak pranihate amale. There's mala and amala. And amala means completely pure and spotless. That's Krishna. It's not just goodness, it's pure goodness. That's Krishna's Shuddha Sattva. And his mind was fixed on Krishna, so his mind was in pure goodness. Then he had his realization. Apashat Purusham Purnam. He saw the personality of Godhead in fullness. He saw. Not like thought about it, perhaps, maybe. He saw the personality of Godhead in fullness. As did Lord Brahma, anyway, Lord Brahma, or as did Narada. He saw the personality in fullness, means the whole spiritual world, because God is not alone. He's there with his whole spiritual world and all his entourage and loving devotees and his dham. He saw that. And he saw the living entity. He saw the living entity that's not in this saha position, not in the bewildered by mistaking the self to be what the self is not. Like having affinity for matter, one thinks the self to be this body and thinks the body to life and all those things that everybody thinks. He was beyond that because mayam cha tad apashrayam, tad apashrayam. It was under Krishna's shelter that the living entity is normally under the whammy of maya. Like, you know, like hypnotized. You're feeling sleepy. It's the morning after Rath Yatra. I know you're feeling sleepy. Just relax. Let your mind go. And so the mind just goes. And we're under the whammy of maya. But Vyas saw maya was on the back side. Like, you know, normally we can't, like the sun and a cloud. When we look at the sun, we can't see the sun if the cloud's in the way. There's lots of, it's a big cloudy sky. But if the cloud's removed, you can see the sun directly. So he was seeing Krishna directly because maya, the cloud that covers Krishna normally, the whammy that we're under, was under his control. Prabhupada describes it. Krishna says, "My dear maya, please remove yourself. Please come behind me so my pure devotee can see me directly." She's obedient to Krishna. She'll do that. If Krishna gives the word, maya moves. If Krishna doesn't give the word, maya stays. So, this saha, this misconception of self-identity, the verse says, can be diminished. Can be diminished. By the mercy, by receiving anukampaya, the mercy of Vasudev, through Bhagavad Bhakti. So, there's another place, another very important verse in the Bhagavatam where the same Bhagavad Bhakti Yogena appears. Tivrena Bhakti Yogena Yajeta Purusham Purnam. This is the verse where Shukadev Goswami is describing, it's a qualified statement, as this verse here is also qualified. Tivra bhakti, not just bhakti, but tivra bhakti. Very focused, very concentrated, very intense, very determined rendering of devotional service. Not casual, not complacent. Devotional service, okay. Tivra bhakti. And that tivra bhakti, same thing as that as this verse says, that verse says. It completely dispels, smashes the influence of this misconception. And the misconception, struggle with the misconception, and what happens? You get tired because the misconception wins. Daiviyeshu gunamai mama maya duratyaya. It wins. Every time it wins. It wins. What to do? If you surrender unto Krishna, daiviheshu gunami mama maya duratya mam eva ye prapadyante mayam etam tarantite. You can easily cross beyond. Easily cross beyond. So, how do we get beyond? Surrender by the mercy of Krishna. And that mercy of Krishna comes through descending sound vibration, through shabda, through transcendental sound. And shabda, fortunately, has transmitters, because otherwise we wouldn't hear it, because it's of the spiritual world and we're not in touch with the spiritual world. But Krishna knows the solution to that problem. He has receivers that transmit that message, just like your cell phone. I hope they're in the off position. The little receiver inside, there's signals going all over this room. And if you have your receiver on, ring. So hope it's in off mode. But if the receiver's on for the spiritual sound vibration, then it can be broadcast. It's like that. And there's a qualifier to be a receiver. You receive from one who is a receiver, and receive from that person. Receive. It's in disciplic succession. The knowledge is that sound vibration is passed on in disciplic succession. Were you there when Prabhupada in Mayapur, or any of you, when he went into a trance right on the Vyasa San? Were you there for that? Either of you? Well, here is a situation in Mayapur. You know, picture Mayapur. You know, like, I don't know how many hundreds of devotees. Morning walk, deity greeting, ring the bell three times, go around the deity. Everyone's dancing, and Guru Puja, and everyone's like, you know. And Prabhupada sits down, he's speaking on Chaitanya Charitamrita. The mood is, everyone's so happy to be with Prabhupada. And he starts speaking on this point that when Krishna says, surrender unto me, and the spiritual master says, surrender unto Krishna, it's Krishna speaking. He said it three times. And he didn't get very far after that. He started speaking something else, and he stopped. And he went into a state of trance, right on the Vyasa San. His eyes closed. The muscles in his face just sagged. And his body was sitting erect, but it started moving like, you know, a blade of grass in the wind, just like that. What do you do when somebody does that? We didn't know what to do. So one devotee stood up after, like, you know, a long, however long it was, a minute, seemed like forever, and he took the mridanga and very gently started chanting Hare Krishna. And after a few mantras, Prabhupada's eyes opened up. He looked around the room. He got up and left the temple room, went upstairs. Class was over. The speaking, this point was, who knows what was happening inside Prabhupada's consciousness, but his message was, when the spiritual master speaks, it's Krishna speaking. That's not, Krishna's a ventriloquist and the spiritual master's just a puppet and Krishna's pulling the strings. He's a person, not a puppet, an inanimate object. But it's Krishna speaking through the pure devotee. And when that happens, what the verse is saying here is, if one wants to acquire the mercy of the Lord, he has to associate with pure devotees. Then such association alone can, by degrees, release one from the quivering elements. End of purport. The quivering elements make a misconception, starting with, you know, identification with matter, gross or subtle, and thinking that's me. And of course I want to be happy, and so happiness is in terms of shaping this configuration of matter instead of the way that it is, the way that it will make me happy. But it doesn't make one happy, nor do those elements stay in place when you try to put them in place, because we're not the controller of matter. And even if we could control matter, even temporarily move something from over here to over there, that's not happiness. It's not who we are. It's a misconception. So the diminishing of the quivering elements happens by this descending mercy that brings Vasudeva Anukampaya. Anukampaya, nice word. By the mercy of. And the process is shanai, it's gradual. Gradual diminishing of that misconception. The tenacious force of that misconception. We're nice devotees. Most of you are nice devotees. I'm trying to be. But nice devotees can also be moved by a misconception. Doesn't mean they're a bad devotee. Just that misconception has a strong hold. And hopefully we want to get beyond that misconception. The formula is given. One other verse, and I'll end, where this bhakti yogena mam chayo vyabhicharena bhakti yogena sevate sagunan samatityaitan brahmavoyaya kalpate. Another very important Bhagavad Gita verse, and so this poetry appears. Mam chayo vyabhichari. So it's avyabhichari bhakti. It's another adjective like tivra bhakti. Avyabhichari bhakti. Undivided devotion. Like amale. Bhakti yogena manasi samyak praniyate. Amale. So, avyabhichari bhakti. Undivided devotion. Means there's divided devotion. So much for me, so much for Krishna. So much for me, so much for Krishna. So much for me, so much for Krishna. Hari Bol. I'm not happy. What happened to my happiness? My mind is quivering. The happiness is supposed to be there. What's wrong with the process of bhakti? Not what's wrong with the process of bhakti, it's how we're applying it. So mam chayo avyabhichari bhakti. Bhakti yogena. That's the bhakti yogena manasi. So the process is the mind needs to be purified so that the mind is no longer a reflecting surface. The mind becomes an instrument in service to Krishna. Like, my dear mind, guess what time it is? It's time to go to Krishna. I don't want to go to Krishna. I'm in control. You've been in control for countless lifetimes and you haven't been doing a good job. This lifetime, at least just once, go to Krishna. Go to Krishna. Just be in service to Krishna, please. There's some very nice prayers by many of our acharyas, but Raghunath Das Goswami, Mana Shiksha, he's instructing the mind, my dear mind. And the application of the verse this morning is, please stop being this reflector of reality and think and try to convince me that that's reality. I am matter, or even worse, I am God. I am the moon. I am the sun. Have you met anybody that actually buys into that? I've met somebody, a college student. I am God. I just laughed. But you're God too. It's very generous of you, but... How about this? I'll step hard on your foot. And you tell me the same thing. I'm God and you're God. Is that okay? So what do you mean? Anyway, it's illusion. And, you know, that's one variety of illusion. The I am God illusion is just, in a diminished form, And the material conception, I'm the enjoyer of matter. We're not the enjoyer of matter. It's not our identity, and nor is it enjoyable. It's illusion. But how? So the illusion is dispelled by this. Savaya vritti dharmena vasudeva anukampaya bhakti yogena bhagavat bhakti yogena tiro date shanayar iha. And he wants, Vidura wants Maitreya to expand on that. Please enlighten my heart with that understanding, that realization. So stick with Vidura and Maitreya and you'll have a nice time. Much nicer than the reflection of the illusion time. Okay. Any comments or questions? Yes.
First part talks about Nivritti Dharma. The second part talks about Bhagavad Bhakti. And the second line, the fourth line, they say what is the use of Nivritti Dharma. It gives Vasudeva and Kampaya. And Bhagavad Bhakti gets rid of probably the material life, I guess. So those two are
no. Prabhupada has translated the word dharmina as follows: by engagement. Nivritti dharmina, by engagement in the process of eradication.
And what
the eradication is referring to saha, eradication of that.
Illusion.
Yeah.
And this anukampaya means
by the mercy of Vasudeva anukampaya. We can't eradicate illusion. We can't get rid of that saha thing without mercy. By the mercy of Vasudeva, gradually this illusion is, we're engaging ourselves in the process of eradicating illusion just by engaging in the process of devotional service, by receiving the mercy of Vasudeva. And we don't need a separate process. It's a package deal. It's included. Okay, anything else? Yes?
I have a question about
other systems of yoga?
Mm-hmm.
Do you mean like the conventional kind that you go to classes and learn? They don't have any conception. They don't worry about it. They just, it's marketing that people want health and slim bodies and, you know, feel better, and sometimes, you know, they have a health problem. I went to, just anecdotal, sometimes there's a conception, sometimes. I had a very serious health problem, so I was going to an Ayurvedic doctor taking Panchakarma treatments. And there was a devotee in Bombay who was assisting me, just like helping me to get around. And his wife had a keen interest on having me go to a yoga instructor who was known to have, like, you know, a miracle cure guy through yoga practice. So I didn't want to go, but they were insisting, so I went. So when I went, make it short, they had on a chair a picture of the universal form. And I just took notice of it as I was walking into there. It was like under these very large banyan trees. It was like very nice. The atmosphere was very serene and sattvic. Then people sitting in a circle, and one by one, you know, I was cured from this and I was cured from that. They said open heart surgery, 10 doctors I went to, but I came to this yogi and everything's fine. The doctors are amazed. you know, miracle cure, miracle cure. Then the head teacher's assistant pulled me to the side because I'm wearing saffron and said, "See that picture over there?" He said, we teach our students to offer their respects to that picture, but actually, when one becomes really advanced, it's the unborn beyond the form. We don't tell them right away, but you're like, you know, you're up there, so we can tell you the real deal. So they may have something, or something, several somethings, but it's generally speaking, it's impersonalism. You know, scratch the surface, and right below is impersonalism. Whatever the form, if they have form, and generally they don't. Gauravani, you know who Gauravani is, the kirtan singer, Gauravani. He, go to his website, and if you want to download the recordings of the 24-hour kirtan program, go to Gauravani. Just Google Gauravani. I forget what the exact site is, .com or something. So he's dedicating himself completely to kirtan this past year. It's like, you know, get in the circuit. And he shared something with me. He said, "I finally met somebody who's a devotee. All these other people, they're just singing because they like singing and they can earn some money, and so they sing and earn some money. But it doesn't mean anything to them. There's no real devotion. Although it's kirtan. It's called kirtan yoga. And they're invited to come and sing." So he met one because he, from his upbringing, he had some training in Bhava Sampradaya. And so he said to Gauravani, shared this with such enthusiasm. He was thrilled. He finally met somebody that was singing Krishna's name for Krishna. That's singing Krishna's name, what to speak of yoga, for, you know, to fix one's mind on Krishna. So the that's, you know, the commercial version in America. If you were to find yoga teachers elsewhere, perhaps in India, they may have some, you know, offerings of some prayers unto some deity of some kind. And it depends upon, you know, the contact that they had before they, you know, started doing what they're doing now. Where they offer their some pranams and some prayers. Does that address your question? Okay. Yes.
I live in a small town 100 miles away from here, and many times I feel that it's difficult to get association of devotees, and so many people like me, even living far beyond. How can we get association of devotees?
Well, one of the ways that Srila Prabhupada purposefully picked up technology and used it was so that persons could get Prabhupada's association, even they were in a distant place. So, and that's also association. I was at a japa retreat in Sharanagati. You've heard of Sharanagati? It's a faraway place. It's in the mountain, it's in the Canadian Rockies. You know, it's just like, yeah, it takes a long time to get there. It is a very peaceful place. And Mother Jamuna and Dina Tarani reside there. So during the japa retreat, somebody asked the same question. And I gave something of the answer that I just gave. We have access through media. You can see Srila Prabhupada speaking and giving class and kirtan and interacting with the devotees and so on through media. Imagine if you had, you know, video technology during the time of Vyasadeva or Rupa Goswami or Lord Chaitanya's kirtan at Rath Yatra with on video. I mean, imagine. Wow. But they didn't have that technology, but now we do. And books. I remember distinctly Prabhupada describing through his book distribution, I'm not sure if it was Bhanu Swami, I've been meaning to ask him, but we know one boy in Japan received a book and he wrote to me saying, you know, I like this so much, I want to become part of your organization. But we had no temple in Japan, just by reading Prabhupada's books. So association through technology, but so Jamuna and Dina Tarani were saying, after I gave that kind of answer, she has deep realization about this, and she was sharing it, that one can associate with our great acharyas through the means that they left behind them to cross to the other side of material existence. And she was specifically referring to the songs of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, because Sharanagati is a place where they annually sing Sharanagati. There's so many songs, and you can enter very deeply into the mood of Bhaktivinoda Thakur through those songs. You can feel the presence and the association of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. It's not like then he can, you know, he'll instruct you something, but through the songs he's instructing, he's drawing you to Krishna, and so forth. There's a very nice verse in Canto 10, Chapter 2, the prayers of the demigods to Lord Krishna and the woman. There's a verse that says, great souls, when they, in their lifetime of going back to Krishna, when they cross over the other side of material existence, they very mercifully leave a boat or a means for others to also cross over that ocean of material existence. That's what they do. So that means is there. Even they may be gone, we can experience their mercy. And it's a very important Gaudiya Vaishnava conception, important Vaishnava conception, followers of Ramanujacharya or the followers of Madhvacharya. Although, visit in Udupi and see how many times they speak about Madhvacharya. It's Madhvacharya and Madhvacharya and Madhvacharya and Madhvacharya and Madhvacharya and day, all day long is Madhvacharya. They're not disconnected from Madhvacharya, although they have a line and they have present representatives. And within ISKCON, Srila Prabhupada is in, not exactly, but in a similar position for us. And we have so much access to him in that way. So enrich your life with all the ways that one can connect with Srila Prabhupada and Bhakti Siddhanta and so on, our disciplic succession. Feel their presence through the means that they've left for us to do so, and take guidance as much as you can in a personal way from the local Sangha of Vaishnavas, even you're some distance geographically from the temple. Anything else? Okay. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.